This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Mike Ross. Here's a segment from our show, Live from Studio 5, that airs weekdays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking.
Green Day and Basket Case. It's live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio on a Daniel Penamondo Thursday. I think we're going with a Lazy Daniel Thursday. How about that? Is that all right?
But he's picked some good tunes.
Oh, absolutely.
I like it. I like when Daniel picks the music, because although there's a lot of stuff there that I haven't heard, there are also like some overlapping tastes. So I always enjoy it when he picks the music. Oh, I guess it pays to be DJ Dan.
You know what? Sometimes it pays to do things at the last minute.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all my book reports.
My best essays.
In high school,
yeah,
they were always last minute things. Time to find out what's coming up on Double Tap Canada. Comes your way tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific, here on AMI Audio. And Tim Schwartz, one of the co-hosts of the program, is here with us with a preview. Hello, Tim.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
It's lovely to have you back. Okay, I've heard a lot about this new app that's supposed to make typing easier. What can you tell us about it? Because not that I find it difficult to touch type on the iPhone, but if there was a way to speed up the process, I'm all ears.
And this definitely speeds up the process. And we say new app, although the technology has been around for probably been about 4 or 5 years now. If anybody's familiar with an app that came out a few years back called Flexi that promised the same thing. It was a third-party app at first. Blind people actually were welcome to test it. A lot of people actually paid into Flexi to get into the beta test and test it out, and it was a fantastic app. You are able to type much, much faster. And then unfortunately, Flexi got bought out by a big mainstream company, and the accessibility went away, and a lot of blind people were very upset. Well, thankfully, this new app, FlickType, has acquired that same technology. And at the moment, they have a third-party app. They are hoping in the next update or two to incorporate it into your actual, you know, iOS system keyboard, so it would actually show up in messages or mail. But right now, it's a separate app. And simply, you don't have to be correct yourself. It will correct for you. As long as you have a good familiarity with a QWERTY keyboard, you know, the standard keyboard, you know where an M should be, you know where a T should be. Even if you don't quite hit that letter, it's going to understand what you want, believe it or not. And we have a fantastic demonstration by my co-host, Sean Priest, tonight. He's going to be talking about how this works, showing you how to actually use it. And I would say a good 3 or 4 times faster doing it this way than even on your standard iOS keyboard, because it predicts what you're going to say. And the usability of it is so easy. And you can definitely type much quicker.
So all you have to do is flick and swish, just like in the Harry Potter movies.
Exactly. Flick and swish. Exactly. Yeah, it's really nice because, like I said, with the predictive ability of this app, you know, if you're trying to go for an M, say, but you're more probably on the N.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah, and you just tap in that general direction. So if you want an M, you kind of tap your finger in the lower right. You want a T, you tap middle, just left of middle in the upper part. You know, just like you would to go for a T, but you might have been on R. You don't know. It doesn't necessarily tell you. But when you type out a word and then you simply swipe to the right to see what word you typed, and it basically puts a space in for the next word. And I would say 9 times out of 10, it gets the word correct. If it does put a word up that's not the word that you wanted, you simply swipe down. It'll give you a list of options of other words that you can select. And that's it. I mean, there's a few other commands, but they're all very simple. Like I said, Sean walks through them so wonderfully tonight. But it's very nice, very easy to use. Right now, it's free in the App Store, so that's always good. And like I said, they are hoping to incorporate it into the system keyboard later on. But right now, you just have to either copy and paste the text or export it. So if you want to put it into a text message or Facebook or an email, you do have to either copy and paste or export it out into that. But that's, you know, minor considering how much faster you can type with this.
Second story is something that we've talked about a little bit on our show, and it's really garnered a ton of interest from folks in our audience, people here at AMI and on this show. It's the Diamond Eye Implant. You're going to be talking about that tonight.
Absolutely. Brought to you by an Ottawa-based company named iBionics. And if anybody's familiar with the Argus 2 that was brought to Canada in 2015, the Argus 2 promised those with retinal diseases like retinitis pigmentosa basically the ability to see shadows and shapes. Unfortunately, with the Argus 2, it was a little bit invasive because, yes, it does connect with a pair of eyeglasses and a camera mounted on those glasses, but you actually had to have a wire surgically, you know, sent from those glasses to the bionic in the back of your eye. And again, it was just providing shapes and shadows. What this Diamond Eye implant offers, because of its design, they're saying it's probably at least four times better than what the Argus 2 was. And because of how it's designed with these diamonds and its shape and size, it's wireless. So there's less invasion there. So you don't have to worry about a wire, you know, coming out into the glasses. So that it is wireless. And it promises more than shapes and shadows. They're saying that they're hoping and expecting that you're going to be able to use this to actually see, you know, things with good recognition, like facial recognition, or actually see things on a person's face, you know, see the actual face itself, not just a shadow or a shape. So that's a big jump, going wireless and being able to see that level of quality rather than just shapes and shadows. I think this is a big step forward. And of course, you know, people with retinitis pigmentosa or retinal diseases are so excited about this technology.
And of course, it's once you have it in, it's there for the rest of your life. So that's a big advantage as well, that you don't have to worry about ongoing complications or needing to keep going back. So this is a really positive development. Now, I want to finally talk to you about, well, we know about a smart watch. I mean, they've been around for a while now. But the world's first projector on a smart watch. How on earth does this work?
Yeah, the folks at Carnegie Mellon, who are always looking to you know, upgrade our technology for us, and this one, the guys and I, Stephen, Sean, and I have a difference of opinion on this one. Stephen's fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by the technology, but I'm not quite sure about the use case. So what they're looking at Carnegie Mellon is taking your smartwatch, which a lot of people say, you know, whether you're blind, visually impaired, or low vision, you know, or even fully sighted, they are small screens, and some people do have difficulty using these small screens. So they've actually enhanced projection technology to where it's so good that they can accurately project what's on your watch face on the back of your hand or onto your arm in order to make it much larger. So, for instance, take like the size of the original iPhone, you know, a few inches, you know, or, you know, in diameter or in, you know, across. They're taking that size basically and being able to project it accurately on the back of your hand. And then there are sensors incorporated where it'll know as you're just tapping on your hand or your wrist, you know, with your finger. It will recognize what you're tapping on, and it looks supposedly very, very good. There's not really any kind of distortion. The accuracy is apparently very, very good. I'm not totally sold on this yet. I think for people with low vision, this could be good. This could be something that's worthwhile. But, I mean, I've got a couple birthmarks on my hand. And I don't know. I mean, Steve, when I was talking to Sean about this, he's like, I guess I got to get in the gym and get arms like Popeye or something and make sure I've got enough space in my hand. I mean, it sounds interesting in theory, but we're, you know, I'm just not sure where this is going to go, if this will be mainstream. But it's interesting that, you know, somebody is looking at that problem, if there is a problem with smartwatch screens, and trying to make it bigger for us. So it's an interesting story.
It is an interesting story. And frankly, I'm not that surprised because I have noticed a trend where the screens are getting bigger. So if you remember, we saw a sort of a shift away from the big four when it got sleeker and smaller and thinner. And really what I've noticed, at least with the later iPhones and some of the other phones, is that there's a resurgence in having a big screen because people don't want to squint. And, you know, if the what I think might hold this technology back is not so much the fact that it isn't a good idea, because I think there's merit there, as you said, for low, sure. For low vision users. I think I just don't know how many people have actually adopted the watch. I mean, I know everybody has a phone, but I haven't seen, let's say, the smart watch, like the Apple Watch, catch on in quite the same way. And that might be the issue there.
Yeah, I think the watches are doing well. I mean, the Apple Watch is, they say, the leading smartwatch out there. And actually, in some markets, they say that the Apple Watch is beating your standard watches, even some Swedish watches, believe it or not, as far as just a wearable watch. So I think it's doing well. Is it doing as well as Apple expected or wanted it to? Probably not. You know, is it really taken off in the mainstream the way, you know, it could? Probably not. But something like this could be, you know, could be a game changer for some who say, hey, that is too small. I do want the bigger screen. Like you said, a lot of people a couple years ago said, oh, the Apple SE phone is the perfect, quote, blind phone. But then I talk to people that say, yeah, but I do like that extra space on the larger phone. So I'm, you know, I'm torn because I do like a bigger screen. So and as you said, these plus sizes and all these other size screens that we have, there is something to be said for bulk and screen size. So there could be something here. There might be a use case here, but I don't know. I just I guess I have to see it in operation first and really, you know, see how it's going to work. But it is interesting.
Tim, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate the preview of your show tonight and invite everyone to tune in. 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific time to Double Tap Canada tonight here on AMI Audio. Have a great show.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. And a special shout out to those in the Quayside neighborhood of Toronto, because we will be talking about something there as well. So a little special extra teaser there for them.
Oh, there you go. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Tim Schwartz from Double Tap Canada airs tonight on AMI Audio. And if you want a full listing of programs here on AMI Audio, visit our website, AMI.ca. And if you want to show specific information here from live from Studio 5, go to AMI.ca/live5. Coming up, Michelle McQuigg will discuss the psychological effects of last week's horrific van attack on survivors and witnesses. Often overlooked. It's live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio. You've been listening to Live from Studio 5. Make sure to subscribe to Live from Studio 5 wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating and review.